The verses read just a few moments ago are familiar to most of us. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. The Corinthians were told it was not possible to eat the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. As you look at these two verses, it may not immediately appear that they have very much in common with each other. They may seem to be completely unrelated. If you look closely at both passages, you find that they are joined together in a rather unusual way. The unifying point between these two verses is the word translated Lord. This is a very special term that is only found twice in the New Testament, Revelation 1:10 and 1 Corinthians 11:20. To appreciate this word, we need perhaps to understand how it was used outside the New Testament. In secular Greek, writers used this word to mean belonging to the emperor. Sometimes it was applied to the emperor's birthday. When the emperor's birthday came, this word was used to say the day belonged to him. It was his day. In 1 Corinthians 11:20, this word affirms the communion belongs to Jesus. It is his supper. This is why Paul says it is the Lord's Supper. It belongs to him. He owns it. It's a commemoration of what he did. This morning we want to primarily consider this special word from the standpoint of Revelation 1, verse 10. John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This expression tells us there is a day which belongs to Jesus. A wisecracker might say, well, every day belongs to Jesus. There is a sense in which this is true. But there is also a sense in which there is a special day which belongs to the Lord. It is a widely recognized fact that our weeks have 7 days. The book of Genesis uses a 7-day time period to describe time. Of the 7 days in our week, one day has a special place in the mind of Jesus. Which day is this special day? Which day is the Lord's day? Well, this morning we want to see if we can determine from the scriptures which day this is. We will begin our study with the book of Mark, the final chapter. By the time described in Mark 16, Jesus was dead. According to Mark 16, 1, women came to the tomb. It was very early. They wanted to anoint the body of Jesus. They were wondering, Mark 16:3, who would roll away the stone from the tomb. According to verse 6 of Mark 16, they realized they were too late. Jesus was gone. But where did Jesus go? Well, the answer to that, of course, is he was raised from the dead. Mark 16:9 tells us when the resurrection occurred. Now when he was risen early on the first day of the week. Mark says he was raised on the first day of the week. Well, there are 7 days in the week. The Jews used the seventh day as a day of rest because this was part of the Old Testament law. The day of rest was Saturday. If the seventh day is Saturday, and there are 7 days in the week, when the week begins again, the first day of the week is Sunday. Since Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, Mark 16:9, he was raised on Sunday. Now is not the time for this. It's a rather involved discussion, but I am persuaded that the beginning of the church described in Acts chapter 2 was also on Sunday. The difficulty is based upon Leviticus, or based around Leviticus 23, how the Jews counted time. There seems to be a vast amount of historical evidence that says prior to the time of 70 AD, before the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jews counted time in such a way where Pentecost occurred on Sunday. The Pharisees, after 70 AD, took over the method of counting, and they used a different way to reckon time, and they came up sometimes with a day other than Sunday. But there seems to be a lot of evidence to suggest that the day of Pentecost was always on Sunday. If this is right, and I maintain it is, then we have not only the resurrection of Christ occurring on Sunday, Mark 16:9, but the church was established on a Sunday as well. Even if people want to dispute whether or not the church was established on Sunday, there are some other facts that are irrefutable. We find from the New Testament that Christians met on the first day of the week, that is on Sunday. Someone might say, well, when I read the book of Acts, especially the first few chapters, I find that Christians met day by day. This is true. But of the 7 days the early Christians met on, Sunday is a particular day that is emphasized. For example, in Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, again Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread. Paul spoke of this same day when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as he gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. Upon the first day of the week. The Greek text is especially instructive because of the preposition that is used. It has the force of every, and several modern translations include that in their rendering of the verse. All of this information is consistent with some ancient writings, material that is not part of the New Testament. I have a source which pays special attention to unique words. This word that is translated Lord in Revelation 1:10 and 1 Corinthians 11:20, there is an entry of about 3 pages on this term. The source cites an early tombstone, I believe from the first century, which has an inscription that uses this word. And I want to share this with you. It's instructive. The first part of the inscription says, God's servant fell asleep at the 10th hour. It gives the time when he died. Well, this part does not offer a lot of meaning or help to us. But the rest of the message is important. God's servant fell asleep at the first hour, and here's what the rest of the tombstone says. At the dawning of the Lord's day, the day of the resurrection of Christ. This inscription on the tombstone is significant because it shows that people in the first century recognized there was a day which belonged to Jesus. A servant of God, at least this was what was on the tombstone, fell asleep on this day, the first day of the week, the day Jesus was raised from the dead, Mark 16, verse 9. Even on an ancient tombstone, it is said that Jesus has a day. There's a day of the week that belongs to him. This day is identified as the day that he was raised. We know that the Corinthians were meeting on this day when it came, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. We also know when the Corinthians came together, they were accustomed to bringing the items for the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. The items were being improperly used, so Paul had to correct them. But they did know to bring these things when they came to a Sunday service. When Sunday came, the members of the Corinthian church remembered Jesus. And this should not surprise us. We have before us the table down below, inscribed on the words from Luke 22, verse 19. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus has given us a command. Our question for consideration, though, is when should we observe this command? Jesus said do it, but when should we do it? Question, should we do it on the special day that belongs to him? Or should we select a day other than the special day that belongs to him? It is now fashionable for some, even within the Lord's body, to have communion on a day other than Sunday. Some say, well, Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, it doesn't matter. Any old day is good. This is a thoughtless conclusion that overlooks the fact that Jesus has a special day. Another question. There are 52 Sundays a year. If Sunday is the Lord's day, each Sunday is the Lord's special day, how many special days does he have each year? Well, the answer, people would say, is 52. Of Jesus' 52 special days, how often should we remember it? Which of the special days should we select to commemorate what he left us as far as a memorial? Well, someone says, well, it would seem to me that, you know, he's talking about each Sunday, but can we be a little more certain of that? Yes, I want to present for your consideration some information from 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. When Paul talks about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he repeatedly uses the present tense. He talks about the supper as ongoing action, not something that occurs, you know, once in a blue moon, once, you know, a year, something like that. But this was a regular part of life for the Corinthians as far as worship. The present tense begins in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, that is blessed on a regular basis, present tense, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, present tense, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Well, this is consistent with every Sunday communion. We continue to meet week by week, and we continue to remember week by week what Jesus did. In 1 Corinthians 11, 24, we have a verb. In your Bible, the verb is probably translated do. It is also in the present tense. And when he had given thanks, this goes back to Jesus, the institution of the supper, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. This do, literally this, keep on doing in remembrance of me. The present tense is found 2 verses later in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread, as you continue to eat this bread, and you continue to drink, you do this in remembrance of me. You also find, as you look at verse 26, the word proclaim. Paul said, for as often as you do this, you proclaim on a regular basis. This is something that you do time after time. This was a regular part of the assembly on Jesus' special day. Let's also, as we look at this chapter, not forget about the information in verse 28. Paul says, but let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Christians are to prove themselves. Again, this is in the present tense. The King James uses the word examine. Question, how many Sundays should we examine ourselves? How many first days of the week should we prove ourselves? Would God be pleased with self-examination or proving ourselves once a year or twice a year or once a month? Each time we come together on the Lord's special day, it is a time to prove ourselves, to examine ourselves. But notice in 1 Corinthians 11 that Paul joins the proving ourselves with a certain act. It is the Lord's Supper. So if we prove ourselves, if we examine ourselves on the Lord's special day, each Sunday, we also have an obligation to partake of the supper on each special day. The present tense is also used at the end of verse 28. The words eating and drinking are also in the present tense, continuous action. You may be thinking that this lesson is about the Lord's Supper. It's not. It is a description of who Christians are. A Christian is someone who knows what the Lord's Day is. We can look at Christianity from a lot of different standpoints. We've looked at it from the standpoint of soldiering. We hope to look at it from some other angles at a future time. But today, we look at Christianity from the standpoint the person who is a child of God knows that when Sunday comes, it is a day that belongs to Jesus. Just as the emperor had a specific day that belonged to him, his birthday, it was his. This is a day that is designed to honor Christ. This does not mean, as some have alleged, that Sunday is a Christian Sabbath. It is, however, a day that is very special to the Lord. It is a day when he joins himself to his people as they worship. Part of this time involves their observing the Lord's Supper each time they assemble on Sunday. Christians know, or a Christian rather, knows this day what it is, and they want to use it in the right way. Yet, as we look at modern times, we find people have a variety of opinions about Sunday. I've heard people say, and this is true for many, it is my only day off. It is my only day to sleep in. It is the only day that I have to relax. All of those things may be exactly right. Sunday can be a time for rest. The people who are very active, as people age, the more they appreciate a Sunday nap. That's a fact of life. But a Christian is someone who says, a Christian is a person who realizes that Sunday is the Lord's day. It is a day that belongs to him. It does not belong to us. When we are baptized into Christ, this is a commitment that we make. Lord, this day belongs to you. What you have asked us to do on this day, we will do. I have certain spiritual obligations that you want me to meet, and I will fulfill them. I'm obligated to meet with the people of God. I have a duty to worship in the way that you have directed, and I will do these things. Generally speaking, folks in the world are so good about being mindful of certain days. We pay attention to certain days. Christmas comes, people pay attention to that. It's a day that is marked off, perhaps, for certain activities. Or there is a birthday, there is New Year's Day, Thanksgiving Day, all kinds of days, Labor Day, and we do what needs to be done. The Bible teaches by using this special word in Revelation 1:10 and 1 Corinthians 11:20 that there is a special day that occurs each week. It's Sunday. As we think about this day as a Christian, one of the most probing questions that can come to my mind is how do we view the Lord's day? Is it less important than Christmas? Is it less important than Thanksgiving? Less important than a vacation day? That's where the rubber begins to meet the road for a child of God. The most important person who has ever lived has established a day each week that belongs to him. Do we honor him and serve him on this day? Or do we, in fact, as the Hebrew writer said, trot underneath the Son of God by not respecting and not honoring the day that has been designated for him? You're here this morning, we presume, to worship. That is a commendable thing. It's one way of serving God, one way of showing that you understand that Jesus has a day and you want to do what's right. We hope that because you're here, you're also a Christian. If you're not, there any day is a good day to become a Christian, but Sunday is certainly a wonderful time. It is the Lord's day, And we hope that you have been united to Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're united to Christ. We're joined with him when we're baptized. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. If you have not done that, this morning we implore you to become a child of God by being immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 22, verse 16. If you have done that as a Christian, then we hope you are someone who has made the commitment to Jesus where you honor him on a regular basis each time we meet, each Lord's Day, because each Sunday does belong to him. Can we help you become a Christian, or can we better help you serve God day by day, and especially on the day that belongs to him? These are the questions that we're asking as we stand and sing.